So, as I told you earlier, I really do remember when Memorial Day was called Armed Forces Day, and by my family at least, Decoration Day. And as a child, I do remember making the rounds of those cemeteries. I especially love those little flags and rows of them flapping in the breeze, and it was sometimes on the horizon as far as I could see. Coincidentally, I was in Boston, downtown Boston, Wednesday, when they were setting up the flags on the common. They were placing hundreds and hundreds of flags for servicemen and women who had been lost. And there were so many. And nearby where I was, there was a woman who was sort of like reporting what was going on. And she was asking random people, "Who are you planting your flag for? Who are you planting your flag for?" And she asked a boy right next to me, who was probably 8 or 9, he said, "My dad." My parents' graves are too far away for me to decorate. And that's partly what got me thinking about today's sermon. Who would we like to decorate? Who among the living would we like to decorate now? Some have died, but many of the important people in our lives are alive right now. So I want to tell and hear stories like the ones that Nancy told us today about people who have made a difference. I chose those readings because it's clear to me that Annie Lamott and Gloria Wade Gales would decorate Lee, the Christian Science mom cat, and Reverend and Mrs. McKinney of Valley View, Mississippi. As I ponder the role of people like these in our lives, I come to believe that they play a significant role in our spiritual development. Many of us have sustaining belief systems that guide us like a moral compass. But without remarkable encounters with seemingly unremarkable people, something would be missing in our spiritual development. So the question is, who would you decorate? And I hope you will. There's one couple I would decorate today, Ed and Ruth. Ruth died last year, and Ed just last month. They were both in their 90s. Ruth grew up in a strict French-Canadian Catholic family in northern Vermont. She was what some might call straight-laced. She lived within a tight circle of geography, family, and faith. All three, for her, dictated what was right and what was wrong. Her best friend Margie had an older brother, Ed, who teased and annoyed both girls. Right out of high school, Ed joined the Army and served abroad in World War II for 5 years. The local high school students were told to write to a soldier, and Ruth decided to write to Ed. She wrote almost every day. And over time, their love blossomed long distance. Only months after his discharge, they were married. They had 5 children. He managed the farm, she managed the children. Theirs was a household full of love and rules. So when a married son one day announced that he and his wife were separating because he was gay, she found no compassion for either of them. She clung to the rules. The rules were that gay was not okay, and that the couple had made a vow before God and did not, in her opinion, have the option to break that vow. The couple followed their own rules by asserting that they were ending the marriage, but remained committed to their marriage vow, which was simply, "I vow to love you. I vow to love you." That didn't stop. So why, you might be wondering, would I decorate Ruth? Because she had guts. And because in the end, love won out over rules. And because she struggled and eventually changed. In spite of her searing pain, she never banished or stopped loving her son. After months and months of grieving, and I suspect plenty of fear, she welcomed him home. A few years later, she found herself once again able to visit his home. And then miraculously, she invited his partner to join him at a family gathering. And later still, the unfathomable happened. The two couples, mom, dad, son, and partner, traveled abroad together to visit the places where Ed had been serving during the war. And then she stood with other members of the family and friends as her son and his partner were joined in civil union, and again later when they were married. Ruth and all the Ruths of this world, in my book, deserve decoration. It is an incomprehensible long road for someone like her to travel from fear to acceptance. She walked that road, every inch of it, and I believe she deserves to be decorated. These are profiles in courage, these stories we've been hearing this morning, and they're the ones that don't get any award at the Kennedy Center. The people I would decorate have courage, had courage. They're not always good or wise or right or even happy. I do not always like them. I may not even know them. But each one in some way has moved me, changed me, inspired me, invited me, or in some cases, catapulted me to a place I had dared not to go before. I'll close with another person Gloria Wade Gales might have decorated, a nameless woman in a North Carolina jail. She was, Gales said, a strange woman whose appearance and penetrating eyes frightened me. She was a dark-skinned black woman, large, silent. She just stared and said nothing. And eventually she spoke. "You scared, ain't you?" "Oh, not of you. Of the jailer." "I ain't gonna hurt you." "Oh, I never thought you were." Gales continues, "She knew I was lying. Her voice was like gravel and her hands calloused. 'Why you in here? You kill somebody?' I told her about the movement. She told me about herself. She had murdered her husband because he had beaten her one time too many. In self-defense, she killed him with a butcher knife. She was not distraught over her incarceration. She was grateful to be alive. We became friends. I was her company. She was my protection. I wondered who had ever loved her. and had she ever loved herself? When I was released 4 days later, I cried. She didn't. She only smiled with her sad eyes. "You be good to yourself," she said. The encounter taught Gales more about herself and about the poor black woman than anything in the movement. These encounters and the people we choose to decorate are holy. As an introduction to Annie Lamott's book suggests, they illuminate our quirky walk of faith. Sometimes they lead us to believe in God, and perhaps even more miraculously, they sometimes lead us to believe in ourselves. In these next few minutes of silence, do consider who you would decorate today, or all the people you would decorate, perhaps living and dead. And while you're at it, consider the very real possibility that someone might choose to decorate you.